Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Last Saturday, the Syrian American Society said that more than 500 people were brought to medical centres in Douma in the eastern Ghouta region near the Syrian capital Damascus with symptoms indicative to exposure to a chemical agent. The US president responded in a tweet by blaming the Syrian government, calling Syrian President Bashar al-Assad an animal, I quote, and threatening a big price to pay. But what do we know about what has really happened? Much of what we've seen in the Irish newspapers certainly aren't coming from journalists who are on the ground in Damascus. Well, our next guest is in Damascus this morning and indeed has been there for the past number of weeks and is on the line to give us a first-hand update. It's great to be joined by investigative journalist Vanessa Beely. Good morning, Vanessa. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Apart from the fact, of course, that we're on the brink of actually a world war on Syrian soil, and I think that has to be, the number one topic of conversation right now. The chemical weapon attack that you're talking about is being rapidly proven to be nothing more than a hoax or a false flag. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, upon whom many of the Western media outlets have relied for information, is actually saying it's not a chemical weapon attack. They're saying it is far more likely to have been suffocation in the basement from either a shelling attack or an air attack. Equally, the Russian military actually attended the site of the attack yesterday and reported back to Damascus that there was absolutely zero evidence of any chemical attack whatsoever, and that included testimony from civilians on the ground who'd been there during that period of time. Equally, Jaish al-Islam, which is the terrorist group, the predominant terrorist group in Douma, had actually admitted to having chemical weapon capabilities and had used them in 2016 against the Kurdish population of Aleppo. Equally, we are finding out today that Jaish al-Islam, as part of their negotiation deal with the Syrian government, had lied about the number of kidnapped victims still alive in Douma. They had actually kidnapped over a period of about 6 years between 3,500 to 5,000 civilians, many of them from Adza, in 2013, when civilians were actually burned alive in the bread ovens there, among a number of other atrocities that were committed against them. So basically what we're now finding out is that only about 100 of these kidnapped victims are still alive and have been able to leave Douma in the buses that I actually watched leaving 2 nights ago. So the question has to arise, what has been done with those bodies of the executed kidnapped victims? Who killed them? Where are they? This is a far greater crime against humanity than a false flag that is effectively now being used to propel us to war and conflict with Russia on Syrian soil.
Let's talk a little bit more about that, Vanessa, because what have you heard from just chatting to people? Have they heard much about this alleged chemical attack? I mean, we saw pictures on the front pages of many of our Irish newspapers looking at pictures of small children who seem to be in hospital after the attack. Have people there heard much about it? And where are these photographs coming from?
Well, look, all of these photographs, for every single one of the false flags that is issued from inside Syria, comes from one organization predominantly, supported by one other. The primary organization that is producing these false flags is, of course, the White Helmets, which is known to be not only affiliated, it's basically an auxiliary to many of the terrorist factions inside Syria, but predominantly Al-Qaeda. It is multi-million financed by the same NATO member states and client states of that alliance of regime change intervention in Syria. And it is known to have produced a number of proven fake documents, videos, photographs, images, and so on. So it is not a reliable source. And it is certainly not a source upon which we should base going to war, which is effectively what is happening right now. Syrian American Medical Society is a Muslim Brotherhood-led organization, US-based, that again has been an integral part of the regime change war apparatus inside Syria, working hand-in-hand with the White Helmets and effectively, in my view, working hand-in-hand with the terrorist factions. Those photographs, they must be investigated. Are they coming from the bodies of children that had previously been executed by the terrorist groups and used as propaganda props, basically, in a disgusting and grotesque effort to, as I said, lead us to war, which at the moment appears to be where we are heading. So all I am cautioning people to do is to not take these reports at face value. There has been no independent investigation. So far, all evidence points to the fact that there was no chemical weapon attack whatsoever. 2 days ago, I myself inspected, alongside CNN, a chemical weapon manufacturing facility run by the terrorist group Fayyad al-Rahman in the area of Erbil in eastern Ghouta. So it is clear, not only from Jaish al-Islam's own admission, but also from the chemical weapon factories that we are finding in the terrorist-held areas of eastern Ghouta, that the terrorists had the capability to make, manufacture, and use chemical weapons against the civilians in those areas and in Damascus City. Syrian government and army has not had any chemical weapon stocks since 2013, when they signed the proliferation treaty and destroyed those stocks in 2014. So all I am saying is, let us not, you know, bow down to this knee-jerk sensationalist reaction from corporate media in the West, which threatens all of us. If we reach a point where Russia and America cross swords inside Syria, it's not going to be contained within Syria. Right now, U.S. naval warships are moving closer to the coast of Syria. We know that Trump is issuing various bellicose statements, and he's talking to his military commanders today. We know that Israel yesterday bombed a Syrian airbase in Homs. You know, these are all precursors to war. And it is the last thing, it's the first thing that we should be preventing. And as regards the chemical weapon attack, we should wait for an independent investigation on the ground.
Vanessa, for people who are listening at the moment, I mean, they can understand perhaps particular countries having certain interests, but how do you explain, or why is it happening then, that we're only seeing a particular storyline presented in the Western media? In other words, what is the motivation for journalists to report in this way?
Well, I mean, we only have to cast our minds back, surely, to the war in Iraq in 2003 and the weapons of mass destruction, or even go back further to the 90s and the babies in incubators, or to Libya and the Benghazi stories of Gaddafi's troops raping women high on Viagra, to know that organizations like Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, who are compromised by their sponsors, in the case of, for example, Human Rights Watch, Saudi Arabia, and George Soros. Amnesty International have a revolving door with American deep state. The media has always supported its state foreign policy, and the state foreign policy in imperialist nations such as the UK, members of the EU, and the US has always been an imperialist supremacist policy, which has been supported by their aligned media. And so, therefore, there should be no great surprise that the corporate media or the state media, which the majority are, to be honest, even though they purport not to be, is towing the party line as regards demonizing the Syrian government, the Syrian army and its allies, and lionizing and whitewashing the atrocities of the terrorist factions that are being armed and financed by the same government that are controlling the media that is producing the narrative on Syria.
Vanessa, thank you so much for joining us on the programme this morning, and we do hope that we'll catch up with you again soon. As I mentioned earlier, it's good to actually talk to somebody who is on the ground, who is actually in Damascus and able to talk to people and meet with people, rather than, as we see a lot of the bylines and people are reporting from Washington, from New York, they're not actually there on the ground. And that's a key part of journalism, isn't it? Is being at the coalface.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.